moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Gosscast. Ali here. I'm in my bedroom this time because I noticed that last time listening back, you could hear traffic from outside. So I'm hoping you can't hear it this time.
Bear with us.
Kendra's still
it's
in her trusty.
It's actually so weird to even be talking to each other without being in the same room. So I hope it doesn't sound weird sometimes, because it's hard when you're talking and you can't see the person. I'd say we're talking over each other like all the time.
I know. I try the best to edit it. I do sometimes because of the lag. Sometimes I ask you a question and then when I play it back, it's like a 10-second delay before you answer. So I've had to edit it where we are kind of nearly talking over each other instead, because it just sounds so weird. It's like, do you know what I mean? And you're like,
yeah. Like 10 minutes empty. Later.
It's like you're in a mood, you know? I'm like, no, that's not what happened. Well, I feel like this week, out of all the weeks in lockdown, has been kind of the most dramatic and with the most news. Do you think the same?
There's been so much stuff happening.
So much happening. Amazing for us, keeping us busy. I think today's Friday, but yesterday we had 36 articles published. I saw like 36.
Yeah.
It was big. It was a big number. It was a lot. But yeah, sorry, before we kick things off, our Goss Gives Back campaign is live, and we put up our first challenge, which is our tanning challenge, where you can win 12 months worth of Bellamy Anta tan. Like, I wish I could enter. I'm not going to lie. Bellamy Anta is definitely my favorite luxury tan. It's just
so good.
It's like the effects of getting a spray tan. I always think when you get Bellamy Anta, it just stays forever.
Yeah, and it's such a gorgeous like golden olive tone that you always want. I just love it.
It looks, yeah, it's like a natural skin tone. Although no one will believe anyone is naturally tanned when we're like stuck at home. You should see me right now, Kendra. Like, I'm in my bedroom. I've turned my vanity table into my podcast studio and I have the curtains closed, and then I've got pillows up against the curtains to try to keep the traffic noise.
Oh my God. See, I'm like literally in the middle of nowhere, so the only noise around me is a cow just being like meh in the background.
Oh my God. It is worrying though. I'm hearing more traffic than usual. Like, I know it's the bank holiday weekend, so I'm a bit concerned. I'm definitely hearing more than I normally would.
Stay home, people.
Hashtag stay home. We got this. We have to kick it off with what I feel like has been the biggest story in, like, well, there's a few big stories, but definitely one of the biggest stories this week. Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik just casually dropping that they're expecting their first child.
Crazy. Like, it's crazy, but it's not crazy. Like, when I saw it, I was like, ah, yeah. Like, you know,
it's funny because I feel like she didn't want the news to come out. She actually gave an interview to Jimmy Fallon this week, and in it she was like, I wish we could have, you know, announced the news ourselves, because TMZ broke the news. But the reason they broke the news was, when you look back, basically Gigi had a 25th birthday on Instagram and she posted the photos and the videos. In the photos, you can actually kind of see a baby bump. Now, obviously, a normal person would just look like that, but for Gigi, there was a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
She was wearing her high-waisted jeans. There was a bit of a bump. I think TMZ just spotted that and then went digging, and then they found out she was expecting.
There was also, like, fans can actually be the best, like, investigative journalists ever sometimes.
Like, we need to hire you.
Yeah, they had noticed, and, like, there was some threads on Twitter that they had noticed that loads of Gigi's gift bags from the photos on her birthday were all pink, and then one of the fans found, like, one of the actual gift bags that Bella Hadid had put up a photo of. And she had actually put an emoji over the front of the gift bag. And this fan went and found the original gift bag and said that it had some sort of like baby girl thing written on it. So that's dear how people God. Kind of found out. So,
like, how do they find that goodie bag? Do they go to like the designer?
I don't know. But they're literally like the best when it comes to investigating things.
Like, wow. Yeah, sometimes we do get a good story just from fans spotting random things in like the background. But yeah, like, I'm a little bit surprised. Like, I definitely don't think it was planned. And even Gigi's mother did an interview. She's on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Yolanda. Mm-hmm. She gave an interview saying that she was still in shock, which I thought was kind of a weird thing to say. But anyway, so it sounded like they kind of shocked everyone. And the reason I'm saying it's a bit of a shock, it's not even her age, which she is really young, but they've definitely definitely had an on and off relationship.
Yeah, very rocky if you kind of properly look back. So they got together like back in like late 2015, and Zayn had only just called off his engagement to Perry Edwards. So that's a major throwback.
Remember the drama.
Yeah, he split up with her. Oh my God. He apparently called off their engagement over text message, which is horrific. And then Kaji moved on. Yeah. And then Kaji moved on with Gigi like a few weeks later, which is heartbreaking.
The world's top supermodel. Cheers. Like, you're always worried when your boyfriend moves on to someone else. Imagine it being the world's top supermodel. Like, you'd actually die.
Fucking hell.
And then I remember the kind of big debut of them was when Gigi starred in Pillow Talk. Remember that video came out? And it was like, the song was about him and Perry being in bed, having sex and fighting. And Gigi was in the video. I was shook. Shook.
I know. And it was actually really early in their relationship, because I think they got together in like November of 2015. It was late anyway. And that Pillow Talk video, because there was so much hype around that because it was Zayn's first solo single after One Direction. And that came out in January of 2016. So it was only like 2 months into their relationship.
It was very early on, and there was already rumors that they were together, but no one kind of knew. And then when that video came out, it was like, holy shit.
And then, and like, remember they went to the Met Gala together. It was like,
oh my God, mad. That was a moment.
Yeah,
I really love the Met Gala for like debuting couples, because do you remember even Selena and The Weeknd? OMG. A lot of couples for the very first time. And then the next year it was like The Weeknd and Bella again. I was like, oh my God.
The drama, the scandal
of the Met Gala. There was some other couple that debuted and I can't think who it was now. Do you remember Hailey Bieber and Shawn Mendes? No one bought into that.
That was wild.
That was on the Met Gala red carpet too.
Yeah. And I think Kylie and Travis, their first like red carpet thing was the Met Gala as well.
We need to get more couples debuting at the Gossies.
I know. Well, we did have Johnny Ward.
Oh, and Emily Baker.
Barker,
is true.
Yeah.
Barker, but they have since split up.
So let's not
mention. So not a good omen. Maybe don't. Your relationship with us. The thing about the Gigi and Zayn thing, like, I always got the feeling that they were just very like intense, because like, doesn't he have her eyes tattooed on his chest?
Yeah, like it seems like they've a pretty wild, intense relationship. But remember, okay, so they were together from like the end of 2015, but when was that first breakup? Remember, and we were actually together when that happened, and we were like, oh shit, and we like did the story straight away.
Split.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was, but they got back together last Christmas and they were broken up for nearly a year. So it must have been November or December. It was a year and early breakup.
They broke up like twice, pretty much. And like,
yeah, and like the first time, do you remember, it was kind of like, oh, they're taking a break. But the second time, it really sounded like it was over for good.
Mm-hmm.
And she started dating a sports star, didn't she?
No, she was with this guy called Tyler Cameron, who's like some guy from The Bachelorette or something. So random. Oh, yeah.
So random.
Yeah.
There's something about Zayn, though, that pulls these girls back. Like, he's a bad boy. He was the bad boy of One Direction. He's the one who left. He's the Robbie Williams, you know, of Take That. Do you know, like, that's him. The Brian McFadden. If you will. Do you know what I mean? He's the controversial one.
I figured it out. So they actually dated up until March of 2018. And that's when they put up that big split thing on Twitter. Remember that?
Yes. Okay.
And then, but then, like, only a few weeks later, they were seen together again. So everyone's like, right, whatever. And then they broke up again at the end of 2018.
And the thing is, they were so young during those years. Like, I'm pretty sure they got together when they were like 21.
Mm.
Do you know? And now, like, so I think during that time, when you're like the most famous model in the world, basically, and you're the most famous solo artist just out of the biggest band in the world, like, life must be so all over the place. Like, how could you be committed to one person when you're traveling? Like, she would be in Milan, in Paris, like New York. She's all over the place with work. So I think that definitely was a part of it. But I'm dying to know, like, what happened over the last couple of months. Like, when do they find out? They're obviously in lockdown together. Where are they actually staying?
They're staying at Gigi's family's farm in Pennsylvania. So I think like a load of them are there. That's kind of random.
That it's in Pennsylvania. Yeah. My mum's best friend actually lives in Pennsylvania, so I've been there many a time.
Yeah, I think that's where so random. Bella Hadid did, like, you know, Vogue 73 questions or something like that.
That was their Pennsylvania home.
Mm.
It feels weird to me for Gigi and Zayn not to be in LA right now. I'm just like, what? But I saw, did you see they did like a Vogue shoot from home the other day, and it was all through Instagram. Was it Vogue? Mm.
Yeah, and I think it was like them on the farm. Bella, yeah.
That actually looks pretty cool.
Oh no, it looks unreal. Like, I would want to go there.
Like, there's so, but I mean, even the shoot looked unreal. Like, I'm noticing a lot of places are doing shoots from home. Like, Zara, their whole new collection is all shot from people's apartments. They're just, like, given a camera and they're shooting it in their own apartment. Like, models are modeling the stuff up against walls and on the couch and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to see. Like, so obviously Vogue can't do any shoots right now. So I'm guessing they're going to ask more and more people to do shoots like theirs, like in the field with cows all over the place. It was kind of random, but it
maybe
like
I should do one in Carlo.
Oh my god, you could probably do a really good one.
I have the perfect backdrop. Anyway.
Wow. But yeah, so everyone thinks they're having a girl. You see Paddy Power were doing odds on what they think the baby is going to be called?
Yeah, and the number one was, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Aisha, is it?
Yeah, Aisha or Aisha. I never know how to pronounce
that name.
I do think it's going to be a bit strange because, like, Zayn, Gigi, Bella, Yolanda, like, you know, their names aren't very straightforward.
Mm. Yeah, I think Aisha is actually kind of boring. I feel like they could do something cooler.
And I feel like Malik is the second name. So, like, they're probably going to pick something stupid, like Farm. They're going to call her Farm. Like Farm
No.
Malik. No, Kendra, it's going to be weird. Like, she's so eclectic and cool. You know, she's so cool. I feel like she'd never... Although, maybe she'll go the other way then and go, like, with Mary. Mary Malik.
Oh, like, my God, imagine.
Something basic. I don't know. But I feel like... from watching them afar, I feel like they're so young for this to be happening. But look, at least they literally have all the money in the world. Like,
yeah, it was funny looking back over like their relationship and stuff, because at the beginning, like, they did so many public things, like the Met Gala. Like, you can't get any bigger than that. I think the first,
you can't take that back. Like,
yeah, the first time they were ever like popped together was like at Justin Bieber's AMA's after party.
Oh,
like,
party.
Just so many big things. And I think it's so interesting because Zayn, like, he has been quite vocal before about, like, kind of hating the celebrity lifestyle and, like, having really bad social anxiety and stuff. So I think it's interesting
how... But then goes out with the world's top model who's photographed every day.
So I just think it's weird. I don't know.
I wonder how Perry's feeling. What did she... Did she have any reaction? I know she was, like, posting on social media again.
She did an interview with, I think, like, a radio station in Australia or something, and she was kind of like just saying life is good. I think she's really happy with them. She's been with this footballer Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for since like 2016,
yeah,
I think,
ages.
And they seem so loved up, so I'd say she's not really bothered, to be honest.
Yeah, and they're quarantining together right now as well. So, like, it's not like she's on her own getting this bit of information.
Yeah.
But no, it's exciting. Like, that is going to be one of the most beautiful babies ever. And she's going to grow up to be so cool and absolutely gorgeous and probably a singer and a model. Like, I can't cope.
Probably will be BFFs with Stormy. And they're going to be like the new generation. Isn't that so weird? Like all the Kardashian kids and all them.
Our children will be following Mary Malik and we'll be like, oh, I remember when Gigi was pregnant with
or
her.
Farm, like, I'm gonna, Malik.
Or Farm Malik. But I feel like, how old are we going to feel when they like are landing their first Vogue cover?
I know. Isn't that so weird?
Sick. Like, I'm gonna, that must be how our parents feel when we're like Joe, like Diana Ross's son is the one that's married to Ashley Simpson, isn't it?
Yeah
like
Evan Ross.
It must be weird for them, like, because Diana would have been there, like, Gigi.
That's actually so weird if you think about it.
And wow. Ashley Simpson's actually expecting her third child now. There's so many pregnancy bombs coming
I can't cope with it.
Like, was everyone just planning on being preggers anyway? Or, like, what's happening? Like, I just don't get it. Like, everyone is pregnant. And, like, this is before isolation. So can we imagine what the news cycle is going to be like in 9 months? I think it's going to be like everyone is pregnant. Everyone's about to give birth.
Like, it's actually like an ideal time to be pregnant because you're not, like, you aren't going to be going and doing anything anyway. Like, you know, when you're pregnant, you kind of miss going out with your friends or like something like that. But sure, there's nowhere to go.
And you're wrecked and you're tired. And I also think it would be a good time to have a baby. Like, I know the initial first few weeks would probably be really stressful because going into hospital and social distancing, all that stuff. But then you can bring your baby home and you and your partner will more than likely not be in a work environment. Like, you're working from home or yeah. whatever's going on. So you actually have more time. But obviously, like, look, it's a scary time too. But I just can't get over every day someone else is pregnant. I've never seen so much pregnancy news.
I know.
Honestly.
It's crazy.
And speaking of pregnancy news, I feel like Kylie and Travis, like, they're going to have a second baby.
Well, I feel like, well, they're isolating together, so I'd say we'll have some news in a few weeks or a few months, I'd say.
A few months? Stormy chapter two.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, this is what's confusing me, though, right? She's with Travis, but she has this, like, incessant need to have her best friends live with her all the time.
Oh, like, my God, that is so weird. I was literally thinking of this morning. I was like, does Kylie have Stassi, like, is she holding her hostage or something? I don't know. Like, why isn't Stas with her family? Like,
but I feel like Kylie does this. This is why when we were talking about the Jordan Woods situation in last week's podcast, there's something a little, and I love Kylie, I'm a Kylie stan, but there's something a bit, not creepy, but it's like she can't live her life without her friends around her. Like, she needs constant support. She needs to have her girlfriends around her, which I understand when you're young, but now you have a daughter and basically a boyfriend. Maybe he's still her ex, but, like, why do you need your best friend to be living in the house as well?
I'd say, like, Stas probably feels so much pressure as well to, like, say yes. Like, who's going to say no to Kylie Jenner? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely feel like her friendships are a bit uneven, I won't lie. Like, the more I look
into it, it's almost like
it,
she's not paying them, but, like, in a way, kind of.
But in a way, she is, because every time she tags Stas, she's upping her followers.
Yeah,
do you know
that's
what I mean?
True,
like, so it does pay to be Kylie Jenner's best friend. And, like, they do look like they're having fun and everything, but I just don't fully understand it when she has a little girl and she has her boyfriend. Now, obviously, she has help and there must be nannies in the house, because where is Stormy? Or is Travis looking after her when she's doing all those videos with Stassi?
I don't know. But, like, we finally know now that Travis is definitely there anyway, because Kylie and Stas, like, put up this TikTok video and Travis just casually walks by in the background. It's so funny. Like, he's so clearly not meant to be in it.
Their videos are very funny, though. Her recreating all the Keeping Up with the Kardashian scenes.
Oh, my God. Brilliant. So funny. I love them.
I thought it was so good. But, yeah, do you think they're back together then?
I think 100%. So, like, she put up, it was Travis's birthday this week, and she put up this, like, huge, adoring post about Travis, loads of pictures and videos of him and Stormy. And in the caption, she said, "Love you forever." So I'm just like, obviously,
okay,
there's something going on.
See, they're another couple that pregnancy happened so young, even way younger than Gigi. Like, it must be so hard to, like, rush into such a serious relationship because you have a child and try to make it work. And then also, again, at the same time, be, like, two of the most famous people in the world and have guys and girls throwing themselves at you, private jets, parties. Like, it must be so difficult to really commit to somebody when you can really do whatever the feck you want when you're that famous. You know,
especially,
like, you don't need
in,
to have,
like, Travis's line of work, he's always on tour. Like, he is, like, one of, like, a few artists that actually tour so much. Like, he's constantly on tour.
Like, I don't like it. I would not like a musician boyfriend who's on tour in a different city every single night. Like, that would make me feel so uncomfortable. Now, in fairness, she used to go around with him, but she can't really do it as much with Stormy. I know she did a few shows last year, didn't she? She went with Stormy. Or was that this year?
It was last year.
I'm actually forgetting what year it is, to be honest. At this point, is it 2025?
Like, but yeah, like, she obviously can't be doing that all the time. Like, she has $1 billion business that she has to run, I suppose. So
billion. And then obviously, do you remember there was that drama when they did break up? The kind of story was that she found messages on Travis's phone that she did not like.
Yeah.
So there's never actually been an accusation of cheating, unlike literally every other Kardashian spouse.
But I mean, there was a lot of theories going around, but nothing was ever actually proven.
Oh yeah, do you remember that theory about that Instagram girl?
Yeah, there was this Instagram model and loads of people, again, fans being the best investigative journalists, pieced together loads of things that apparently Travis was secretly seeing this Instagram model. Now, nothing was ever confirmed, so, you know, we don't know.
Very strange.
But it was very
But I weird. Thought it was interesting that kind of the reason they broke up was because she just found messages. Like, I think Kylie doesn't take any shit. Like, she's just like, right, fuck this.
Yeah.
But I feel like because of isolation and lockdown, I think there's a lot of couples that are, like, reconciling because they don't want to be on their own. So they might as well choose to be with their ex or be with their partner, even if they're not really getting on, just because they don't want to be by themselves, which isn't exactly the best idea. But maybe that's what people are doing.
Well, it's certainly what Chloe and Tristan are doing anyway. Let me tell you that much.
And Tristan, I can't cope. See, we spoke about this before that they're isolating together. Me and you are both like 100% they're riding. And now 100%. It looks like the whole Kardashian clan think the same.
So a preview for Keeping Up with the Kardashians came out. So the latest episode came out on Thursday night. And at the end of it, they shared a sneak peek for the rest of the season, which isn't going to air until September, can I just say?
I know.
Which is fuck so annoying.
Sake. I actually watched the preview today and got pissed off. I was like, just fucking release it. Release like a lockdown special. Do you know what I mean? Release one episode. Because, you know, there was a clip of Chris and Chloe being in the walk-in wardrobe, which is the size of anyone's house, so they were able to social distance no problem. But in the clip, like, you can see them crying and they really want to touch each other, and it's like really emotional. And I'm like, that's what people need right now.
I don't know why they're obviously like just trying to space it out because they don't know when they'll be ever able to film the show properly
but why even tease it.
It's very annoying.
That's what really annoys me. I remember when I did the podcast with Perez Hilton, we were talking about Keeping Up with the Kardashians because obviously it's really popular worldwide and me and you watched on Hey You and stuff, but I was asking him, like, what's the situation in America? Like, what are the ratings like on E? And he was saying, like, the show was going down and, like, some other shows were getting way more viewers than Keeping Up with the Kardashians was. So we obviously see it as this, like, massive success, but I don't think it actually is in the US. And I remember Perez was like, it'd be so much better if they just did it in real time and had an episode only a week or 2 weeks behind max. And I agree. I feel like if we were able to see right now, like, we're not going to give a shit in September about Kanye's fashion show from 4 months ago.
Yeah, no, exactly. And especially because, like, in the most recent episode, it's all about, like, Christmas. And, like, why would we be wanting to watch anything about Christmas right
now? You know what, that episode actually upset me. I watched it this morning over my brunch. And it was, like, all about Christmas Eve, their Christmas Eve party. First of all, can I just point out, like, why in the name of God did Courtney do this massive drama about quitting the show? And then she just slips back in. She's like, yeah, I'm filming 2 times a week now. I'm like, why?
She's
you literally
so
said
annoying.
You didn't want to.
No, she's
and
so
she was
annoying,
like, I just don't want to be in this toxic environment. But I feel like she just wants her paycheck and she's like, fuck it, I'll just hang around for 2 days. Because Poosh is definitely not bringing in the dollar bill. Like, it's not.
We know
it's
this.
Not,
we
like,
know this.
But I was watching it and it was really good. Like, it was nice to see the party and stuff. But I really think I hate Courtney. She wrecks my head.
Wrecks
Even
my
when
head.
They were like, why don't we do Christmas in Kylie's? And she's like, no, I want a real Christmas. Like she's such a bitch.
She always like, just has an issue with everything. But, like, yeah, like, I always enjoy watching the Christmas episodes because, like, I love the Christmas Eve party they have every year and stuff. But, like, I don't want to be watching that in March or in May.
And it upset me at the end where they were like, oh, we need to plan for next year. I literally was like, there isn't a next year. I'm sorry, there is not gonna, although that probably is Courtney's dream, just them and no staff.
Yeah, that's
such,
true.
Such an issue with caterers and the chef. She was like, Kylie's gonna want a chef to cook us. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah,
why would you not want a chef to cook your breakfast on Christmas morning?
I'd like, freaking love that. But, like, anyway.
And then she was like, I stayed up for 3 hours cooking. It's like, it was your suggestion. Anyway, sorry.
But
just
going back
me.
To the preview. So in the preview, it shows kind of like it gives sneak peek into their lives during isolation. They're all kind of self-filming little clips and stuff. And in one of the clips, Chloe is on
They're
FaceTime.
In a Zoom chat.
Yeah, they're on a Zoom chat or whatever. With Chris and Scott Disick and Kim. And Scott Disick asks Chloe, he's like, so have you, what did he say again? He's like, have you and Tristan had sex yet? Or something like that. And she's like, no. But then Chris is like, oh, 100% they have.
Oh, I didn't think Chloe was in the chat. No, I thought it was Courtney, Kim. Oh, because he goes, are Chloe and Tristan sleeping together? And he's like, because Chloe says no. And then Chris goes, 100%.
Yeah, no, Chloe is in it. If you look back, Chloe's in it. She's like doing her makeup or something.
Well, that's awkward.
I know.
Okay.
And then it kind of shows clips of like Chloe filming herself in on Tristan during isolation. They're obviously quarantining together with True.
But I mean, like in the most recent episode, which is 7,000 years behind, they're already putting embryos together at the possibility of having another child. I mean, come on.
This is what I said during last week's podcast. They're like putting out little feelers and they're just waiting for people to just get used to them being back together and then they're just going to do it.
The thing about Tristan as well, from the little we know of his cheating scandal, like he's a randy man. There is no way he's sitting in that gaff. Like, come on. There is
randy
no way.
Man.
He is like, he there's is. No way he's sitting in that gaff just chilling out.
Oh, this is like, although just a game for him. And once he has Chloe back, he'll be off riding people again.
I swear to God, like they'll get back together. And then next year in an episode, we'll see that like Tristan was like Zoom chatting other girls during lockdown or something.
Oh my God, the quarantine version of cheating.
Would you be
cheating.
Surprised?
No, like, not you? At all. I feel like he would like literally get
him.
With their freaking gardener or something.
No, like literally, like
he'd find
like a 50-year-old
way.
Gardener. it annoys me because I feel like Chloe's wasting her prime years, and he's just going to be this sperm donor again, like Scott was for Courtney. Now I like Scott. Now I have to say, like I know he did bad things, but I have a personal soft spot for Scott, and I think he's troubled. Whereas I just think Tristan is a dickhead.
Like
the
I
things
think,
that he did were so bad.
In the most recent episode, like the one that was on Thursday night, I think you kind of realize why Scott is so fucked up and you feel bad for him because like he did lose both his parents within 3 months of each other. Like the poor thing. You can get why he was so troubled for all those years.
But I think as well it explains why Chris in particular kind of kept him in the family because he has no family.
No one.
Like he was an only child. All he has is them. So I think that's why, in fairness to Chris, she's kept him on and she's kept him on the show. And then they have Flip It Like Disick as well. Like, I just think she wanted to make sure he felt he was a part of the family forever. And I know that probably did annoy Courtney, but I think he's changed now and he's actually a good addition to the family. Like, he's always positive.
Yeah.
He seems to be a really good dad. Like, he doesn't drink anymore. Like, I feel like he's on a good road now.
Yeah. Love bit of Scott.
I'm trying to think what else was in the preview. It was mainly the lockdown stuff, and then I don't know why they added in the preview of Kanye's fashion show with dramatic music. Like, did anything happen?
I think they're teasing some kind of issues with Courtney as well again.
And is there something going on with Corey and Kendall or something? There's some sort of
fight
that goes on.
Yeah, where Corey is seen like talking to Kylie, and he's like, "Oh, thank God you're here, because when you're not here, it's like an awkward vibe or something." I don't know. But isn't it so interesting the way Corey and Kylie are really close?
I don't understand that though.
Is that weird?
Kylie and her mom are so close though, and they basically work together every day. Corey must just be around every day.
Because like you even notice it on social media, like Kylie goes out with Corey and stuff. It's mad.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. She always like puts up videos of like being out in the club. With Corey and stuff. Yeah, it's fucking weird.
I don't like Corey. I've never liked him.
Yeah,
I
bad vibes
off
him.
Off him.
Yeah.
And I remember the big fight they kind of had. I always notice Chris is really quiet when there's a fight with Corey. She kind of is not herself. Like, she's very submissive and says nothing. She just allows the argument. But remember that time he was like, y'all not my kids? Like, I can do whatever the fuck I want. I remember being like, whoa, dude. Like, what's your fucking
chill
issue?
Out. Isn't it so
like,
weird
that,
like, he
weird that
used
one.
To be Justin Bieber's, like, security manager or something? Yeah, did you not know that? That's how, like, they met.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
that
how he's, like,
worse.
On the celeb scene. He was Justin Bieber's security manager. Mad.
Oh, my God. Like, he does seem to make Chris happy. Whenever you kind of see from the side, like, you know, like them kissing or whatever. Like, they look cute, but I don't like how he treats the children. And at the end of the day, no matter what age you are or what time of the life, if someone's life you come in, I think when your partner has children, like, has to be such an important part of your relationship. He doesn't seem to care if it's a good relationship or not. And that's what I find weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then, yeah, Courtney as usual. But Courtney is just wrecking. She's wrecking my head, and I'm not even her sister. I just don't like, every time she comes on, she says it's a toxic environment, but she's the one bringing the toxicity. Like, she's coming in with such a bad
attitude. I think she
just
needs to get off the show. I wouldn't miss her. She's like...
Like, why did she come back?
I don't know. She just wants her money.
Her paycheck. It was weird because she was like, yeah, like, I didn't want to come back because of the toxic environment, but I'm back for 2 days. So she reiterated the fact that it was a toxic environment again. I was just like,
she's right. Like, I'm only gonna film stuff that is like fun, and it's just like, oh, shut up. Like, I don't care.
I don't care either. I definitely think one of the big reasons she might have had to come back was, firstly, when she did come back for this episode, they went straight into the new perfume campaign that they shot together. There was no way they could have promoted that without
There's some things where it's just like it's going to be impossible for her not to film stuff because she's always with her family, and her family are going to be filming the show.
And then also the Christmas part element of that episode, they would always have to cover the Christmas Eve party. So it was kind of bad timing for her to try and exit the show when those two huge things were coming. But yeah, I wouldn't miss her. She's wrecking my head, to be honest. I don't think she brings much. It's the same with Kendall. Like, she's barely on it either. Like, I don't miss her. But I like seeing a bit more Kylie in this.
Love seeing more Kylie.
Yeah, like, she's been in it a good bit more, hasn't she?
Yeah. I'm actually liking, like, this quarantine period has been good for Kylie because she's kind of showing more of her personality on social media even as well. I think people are kind of, like, getting her more.
I know. I think for a while she kind of pulled back, probably just to save her brand, because if someone doesn't like her or doesn't like her attitude, they're not going to buy her product. So it's always such a concern when you are the face of your own brand, how you act online. And I feel like just for ages there, she kind of was doing nothing and was only promoting her brand. But now, obviously,
it kind of all started when she got pregnant. So remember, like, she was barely posting anything, and it kind of all kicked off from there. And she's kind of slowly been coming back being like a social media star, because even before she was pregnant, she was huge on social media. She was one
like,
of the
she
biggest.
She was the reason Snapchat became the global success that it was. But I'm wondering as well, is it because Koshi bought the majority of her company now, because she's no longer the owner? Like, you know, there, it's, but even though she owns 40%, is it 60% they bought?
They bought 51%.
51%. Yeah. Well, either way, once you go over 50, you're the managing owner of it, right? So she doesn't own it anymore. So I wonder, does she feel a little bit of relief so she can do what she wants, because it's
probably
not her, her company anymore. But yeah, I think it's really good that she got to sell her brand right before the coronavirus happened, because I'd say she's not as impacted. Do you know, as she got such a huge lump sum. It was like $500 million they gave her, wasn't it, for those shares?
Yeah, I think it's $600 million. Yeah.
So, like, she's grand. Like, do you know what I mean? There's no pressure there. Whereas Kim, like, she solely owns KKW Beauty by herself. So, I'm sure it is a huge difference.
Skim seems to be doing really well, though. Like, she launches a new collection every freaking week.
5 seconds.
it's actually annoying.
I am dying. Do you know, I love her comfy collection. I know it's not called that.
Cozy collection.
Is it cozy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I actually ordered something from Nasty Gal that's basically... Well, how will we call it?
Like a knockoff.
yeah, I'm trying not to slam. Like, a similar style. But it's that fluffy white cream material. So I'm going to try that next week, I think. It has the flares on it too. But because I looked at Skims at that range, and it's so expensive. And then shipping is about $7,000 to get it.
And it would actually annoy me, because like, what if it arrives and it doesn't fit or something, and there's no way you can return that shit. Like,
you'd be waiting 3 months, like. And this is the one good thing about Coty buying Kylie Cosmetics, is more than likely it's going to be in stores like in the next year or so.
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
they have all these deals. Like, wouldn't it be amazing to go into Boots and be able to buy a Kylie lip kit?
Oh,
like,
my god,
I would lose my mind.
Yeah, need that.
I would
happen.
Go in and buy the entire collection, like no joke. Because without the tax and the delivery costs, I would definitely spend that money.
Oh my God, 100%. Like, it's really good stuff. Like, I know people, like, probably aren't too mad about it because it's such an effort to get. But I think if it was more accessible, like, people would be mad about it.
Like, my little sister for Christmas, one of my presents was a Kylie lip kit. It was like she'd ordered gold for me. Like, I was like, oh my God. And even, not this year, but last year when I went over for the Oscars, I ordered a Kylie lip kit a week before I got there, said it would arrive at my hotel when I was there. Like, I'm obsessed. Like, yeah,
see, that's
I have
the
an
thing.
Issue.
Like, the actual price point isn't actually that bad. Like, it's not really that expensive.
If you're in
it's
America,
just, yeah. If you're in America, but the customs charges and everything, it's just annoying if you're living in Ireland or the UK
because
or whatever.
If you the tax on it, right, and the delivery, it's like €50 for a lip kit. That's without getting caught by customs.
Yeah,
it could
so
be like 80
annoying.
Quid to get a lipstick. Like,
no, like, it's
but yeah, I think she got out at a good time, and I am excited to see more of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. But I just feel like Ryan Seacrest needs a little knock on the head. Do you know what I mean? Like, Ryan, make it more. It doesn't even have to be weekly live, but like, put that up next month. Do you know
it
what
needs
I mean?
To be
September
more like Towie,
weird.
Where like it's only about a month behind.
Is that a month behind?
I think so. It's like not okay. Very far behind like actual real time.
Or like I said, do a coronavirus special. Like, do a once-off episode where it shows like the day they all found out they had to stay by themselves and how they've been dealing with it. Like, because I feel like now they're not as upset because Kylie is literally seeing her best friend and she's moved in. So I feel like they're not 100% abiding by
yeah.
the lockdown.
Also, she like moved into a brand new gaff. So like...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Like, we're giving Meghan and Harry a hard time from jetting into LA, but then other people are doing...
Yeah.
Like, we did a story today, or sorry, yesterday, about Ben Affleck and his girlfriend, Ana de Armas, celebrating her 32nd birthday, and they're in, like, a desert. Now, obviously, that's good. There's nobody around, but how did they get to the desert?
Yeah.
Like, they obviously went over the lockdown rules, and, like,
clearly
California is in a lockdown.
Rules. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not into that. Now, I'd say they picked a desert on purpose so that they could show us that there's nobody around.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the point. I think you're meant to be staying
yeah,
right
like,
off.
Isn't there yeah. an actual order in LA at the moment to stay at
yeah,
home?
To stay home. Yeah.
Yikes.
It's just hard to, like, police these things and...
Yeah, it's true.
You know, actually stay on top of stuff. But going back to a bit of Irish news, Normal People has just taken over...
Life.
The whole country. It's taken over the UK as well, and it's on Hulu too, so I think it's going to take over the world, to be honest. There was a lot of hype about it, and for me, like, I'm obsessed with Lenny Abrahamson. Like, his movie Frank mm-hmm. is one of my favorite movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, it's so good, and if you're into music especially, you'll love it. And he directed Room, which obviously won loads of Oscars, loads of Oscar nominations. He's just incredible. And Room was a book adaptation.
Yeah.
So when I heard he was like adapting a book, I was like, right, this is gonna be amazing. But
yeah,
nothing could have prepared me for how much I loved the show. Like, me and Kendra have both watched every episode.
So good.
It's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, like, because I told you, because I've read the book, and I remember when you were like, oh my God, I've watched the first episode of Normal People, I was like, be prepared, because it's
like,
an emotional roller coaster. I was like, first of all, just binge watch the whole thing, get it over with. It's like, because I read the book last year and there was a lot of hype about it at the time. And randomly, it was actually, I think I did a story on it, that it was included in, so Barack Obama does this list at the end of every year,
yeah.
and he included it in his like must read books of 2019.
Yes,
which is so funny because I cannot imagine Barack Obama like reading about the Debs in Ireland.
Oh my
like,
God,
so
Debs.
Funny.
Or drinking cans in Foley's or whatever.
Yeah, like I just thought it was really funny that like out of everyone, Barack Obama read it. So funny. But yeah, there was a lot of hype about the book last year. So when I heard it was being made into a series, I was like, oh my God, unreal. The book is weird because when I read it, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this, because you just get so like annoyed with the characters. They just do so many things.
I was
you're just
so
like,
annoyed
oh my God,
too.
Stop. Like, it's so weird.
Well, only... We'll only talk about the first two episodes in this one, just in case people are only watching the RT stuff.
Yeah.
But even in the first two episodes, they're both wrecking my head. And it's a good representation of a lot of country lads. Yeah. That's one of the best things they do in this series, I think, is Cunnell's character. I know so many guys who would be like that, who would literally just be like, yeah, how's it going?
Well,
even if they like broke their leg and their leg was hanging off and they were in agony, they'd be like, how's it going? Yeah. Like, they're just so bad at conveying their emotions. But then as the series goes on, I'm literally like, Cunnell, will you fucking just say what you're feeling? Like, I start getting so frustrated. And Marianne the same. But I guess the whole series is about teenage angst and people not being able to express themselves. See, I don't think I've ever had that issue. If anything, I express myself too much. Like, I'd be really like, what the fuck? Or like, I don't know. I wasn't like that. I'm not really... Would you say you're like... Would you be quite hidden with
emotions? I'd be so like that. But like, I just think the way the series...
Imagine you and Cunnell together.
Oh my God.
You'd both just be like, yeah.
I just think the series never get is so good at like, and it's because of Sally Rooney's writing. The way like it conveys culty people, but then like posh people that go to Trinity College. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Trinity episodes are so good. When Connell's given out to the students being like, well, like, they're Trinity students. Like, isn't that enough to, to explain?
It's just so and relatable and so Irish. And I don't think we've ever had anything really like that before. So that's why I just and think then, it's, like, gotten such a good reception online.
And the funny thing is then, obviously, this week, Joe Duffy's live line was just... absolutely polluted with people calling in, giving out about it. So obviously young people, normal people, when we're watching normal people, we all really liked it. And in the first two episodes that aired on RT, there was obviously like a very graphic and vivid sex scene.
Yeah.
And just FYI, if you think that was bad, it gets
worse. Like, don't watch it with your parents. You really shouldn't.
Watch it under the covers by yourself.
Like, don't.
But someone called Mary, and she basically was like, it was like watching a porno, watching these two young teenagers having sex. It was wrong. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, it's a representation. It's like holding a mirror up to society. It wasn't Lenny being like, let's watch two 15-year-olds have sex. It was like, this is what. And in fairness, they were both meant to be 17, so legally of age.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really liked about the first two episodes and the sex scenes and stuff was that Cunnell constantly asked Marianne, was she okay?
Yeah.
Like, really, really pushed the idea of consent. I don't think I've ever in my life seen a show on Irish television where a guy asks the girl,
Is she
ready?
Yeah.
Is she okay? And she asks for a condom and he immediately is like, yeah, no problem. Whereas I think at that age, if there's young girls watching that show, they'd be nervous to ask for a condom.
Yeah.
But to see Cunnell, who is a very typical Irish guy, to see him being like, yeah, and he goes and get one, maybe that will make some girls ask for a condom that wouldn't have asked.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so like, I loved the way it was so real in that way, because other kind of teen drama kind of shows can really like romanticize that whole moment when it's not actually like that at all.
Yeah, and they're always wearing like half a bit of clothes, or they have a huge random sheet that seems to come off every bed in America.
Perfectly.
Like, Americans seem to have an extra sheet on their beds that's white and clean and like it's always just there. And like they're wearing loads of makeup, and that's shot almost in a soft porn way because you can't really see all their bits.
Yeah.
It's like very, and that's one of the things I really loved about this is you see more of Cunnell's naked body than you ever see of Marianne's.
Yeah.
And I liked that because women are always so sexual on TV and in movies, but in this one it's more him, it's his body, and he also doesn't have a picture perfect body either. It's very normal body, you know.
Yeah.
So I liked all that stuff, but some of the complaints were so funny. Like, one of them was like, I can't believe they showed a guy driving. Like, he's 17.
A 17-year-old driving.
Is he allowed to drive? I was driving at 17. Like, I had a license. What the hell?
Like, I just don't see why people were going so crazy. Like, it really wasn't that bad. I actually saw one tweet that was like, oh my God, imagine these people that are complaining on Liveline, like, watched an episode of Skins. Like,
oh my God,
they die.
Yeah.
Like,
or
much worse
girls.
Things happen. Like, with teenagers
like,
in Ireland
like
now.
Girls was the first, you know, Lena Dunham's series. I felt like that was the first show to ever show real sex scenes, because it kind of was hailed as a new Sex in the City, but Sex in the City was also a very glammed up, non-realistic kind of show. But with Girls, I don't know if you remember the first episode, even with Adam Driver, the sex scene is so awkward, and it's shot from like the most unflattering angle, and they both look like shit, and it's really awkward, and she's into weird things, he's into weird things. It's really like unnatural to watch something like that, but I loved it. I was like, oh my god, so true. And definitely some of the complaints I heard on Liveline, I was like, god love them watching some of the later episodes.
Oh my god,
like, especially with Marianne.
Yeah,
you know,
like it does get a lot worse.
But I just think, like, I think in one way it's valid to be a little concerned if you're like a mother and your 16-year-old daughter is watching Normal People. I can understand they're worried, like, how is this going to affect their view of sex? But to be honest, the more I watched it, the more it made me think, number one, it's going to make people think you need to ask, are you okay, all the time, because nearly every time they have sex, he asks her, is she okay, even in the later episodes. Secondly, you know, it kind of, I think, helps people embrace their own weirdness. Like, if they're into weird things, or, you know, that kind of way, it kind of
makes
it seem normal.
And it's okay if you were, like, maybe a loner in school, that, like, you could be, like, have a completely different life in college, or even life after college.
Oh, like, the school days triggered me to fuck. I was triggered, like, watching that. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I remember being at those locker situations and I wouldn't talk to anyone. I'd have no one to talk to. When I was watching that, I was like, oh, my God. I actually, like, felt so sorry for her.
I know.
Oh, it's so
really
sad.
Like, the thing about the series is it, like, really gets you in the feels. Like, even when it ended, I kind of was just, like, sitting on my bed. I was like, oh, my God. Like, you feel like your heart is, like, aching. It's so weird.
Oh, it's so bad. And, like, without any spoilers, the ending, like, it just feels so sudden. When the credits went to black, I was like, you're fucking kidding
me.
Yeah,
because I read the book, so I knew what was going to happen.
So you knew the ending.
So it didn't really affect me that much. But, like, I could imagine watching it and not knowing, you'd be like, what the fucking fuck?
But yeah, the ending, either way, we were not like, oh, it is, it's very intense and it's emotional. And I shouted at the TV, like, I shouted at the TV a lot with it. But it's such a good series. And I feel like, I mean, if this doesn't win a few BAFTAs now,
100%
I won't be happy. Yeah, Girls, I thought, was really good at the time, right? They had the really realistic scenes. And I don't think there's been much else. I know you're saying Skins is really good as well. But I remember years ago, so it was when Love Hate ended. So it must have been 2000 and...
If anything, yeah, though, like, the likes of Skins was a bit dramatic.
Like, too dramatic.
Yeah. Whereas Normal People was just way more real. And, yeah, it just... It was way more relatable than, like, anything I've ever watched in terms of, like, teen years.
Yeah. And I think it's good to not fantasize the whole area of sex and stuff, because I actually thought the scene where they have sex for the first time was so well done.
So good.
Like,
yeah,
every moment of it, even when he's like, this is gonna hurt, like, all that kind of stuff, like, that's the conversation, like, you have the first time you're having sex, because you don't know what the hell. And in fairness, like, I felt like that was such a good first time for her, like, because he was so nice. Like, she could have ended up with one of the jerks in school at the back of a club. You hear stories like that all the time. I hate hearing stories like that when someone's first time is, like,
yeah, and
so
I think
random.
If anything, if a teenager was watching that now, they'd realize that that's what it should be like, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than, like, these movies where it shows completely unrealistic things.
I remember when I was in school, because I was in secondary school in Limerick, and the place that I actually lived was very similar to the place in Sligo that they live. It was a tiny little village house in the middle of a field, kind of in the middle of nowhere. So there was a lot of, like, I was like, oh my God, I get that. But I remember, like, girls that I knew lost their virginity at, like, the local disco. They would sit on a guy's lap and pretend they were just sitting on the lap, but they were, like, they were having sex, like. And they would come, I hated all those discos. I've only went to two, I think, the whole time. But the girls would come back and they would have, like, a purse full of condoms. And they'd literally be like, yeah. And this is, like, multiple girls in my
year. Oh my God, yeah, sure, like Wes.
You know, I never went to Wes once.
Oh, did you not?
No, because I lived in Limerick.
Oh my God, yeah.
For all of my teenagers.
Oh my God, but if anyone is from Dublin or lives in Dublin, they will know what Wes is. And it was, like, crazy. There was literally, like, a room where people would go in and just be, like, shifting and riding, you know?
I've heard so many tales of Wes. Like, I feel like it was a point in my life I missed, like, because as a Dub, because I lived in Dublin until I was 12 and then I booted off to Limerick. That was kind of, it's like 14, 15 people started going to Wes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But like some of the stories I've heard even since, that like girls take off their knickers and wrap them around their wrists as they head on in.
It was crazy.
Do you know what I mean? Like a series that would portray that would be way worse. Do you know what I mean? When you actually compare what goes on in normal people, it's actually almost a fantasy because so many girls are not losing their virginity that way. Like when I was 15, 16, if I knew girls that were losing their virginity at nightclubs, that was way before Tinder and, you know, like Instagram apps where you could message people. I'd say girls are losing it way earlier now and in a way less romantic way.
Yeah.
It used to give me anxiety. Like, I didn't want to go to the discos. We had two. The main one was called the Energizer.
My God.
And it was in, like, a local ga club. Like, it's literally, like, you could make a TV show out of stuff that went on there. Like, but, like, sometimes I'd be nervous. I think I only went twice. Because you know the way girls would play Beat the Slapper? Like, I never took part in that. I was, like, absolutely not.
Oh, my God. I remember Beat the Slapper.
No, like, I was so quiet. And this is what I'm saying, right? Imagine if in Normal People, there was an episode of Beat the Slapper where the girls basically have to kiss as many people as you can. Like, that would be something I'd be concerned about because then you're normalizing it to young girls. I actually think the way they've done it is totally different. They're actually normalizing romance.
Yeah.
Like, I know...
Like, being in love.
It doesn't all go to plan. Yeah, I know it's not great the way he doesn't want to acknowledge her and stuff. And there's parts of it that are messed up. But the actual sex part, the kissing part, all that stuff, I would much prefer my daughter did that than ended up in Wes or the Energizer losing her virginity in a dark room.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's a lot to be said for that. But I think either way, I think the show is going to cause a lot of debate because it's on such a premier channel. And like because everyone's isolating, it's opening it up for a lot younger people to watch it. Because in fairness, what 17-year-old would normally watch RTÉ?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Like they wouldn't. Whereas they are all in the same sitting room now at home. Like God love the parents that switched it on with their kids in the room.
Oh my God,
and then the
sex scene. Because I actually watched it first because it was made available on the BBC iPlayer on Sunday. So I got in and like watched it like straight away because I was waiting for it to come out. And the first thing I did was I texted my like girls WhatsApp group and was like, do not watch this if your parents are around. I was like, definitely don't. Like, do not, because I know one of my friends is planning on watching it. And she was like, oh my God, thank God you told me that. I was like, looking out for you,
boo. The thing I think is a bit mad though, right? Like, do you remember the ending of Love Hate? Did you watch Love Hate? I think we had this conversation.
No.
You haven't.
No.
There's a very violent final scene in Love Hate and it's sexual and violent and it's in a prison, so you can imagine it's to do with
a guy.
Oh
God, Jesus.
Yeah, it's very OTT what goes on, right? But like there wasn't as many complaints about that as I feel there was for this. Like it's so archaic Ireland.
So
like that we'd be obsessed
Irish,
about
yeah.
a sex scene.
Yeah.
And I remember when Love Hate ended, I actually pitched a show to RTÉ and it was about like single girls in Dublin and we had a sex scene in the pilot. And I remember being told like by people in RTÉ, commissioning editors and stuff, that it was just too much for a female focused show to have like a sex scene like that. And that was in 2014. So that was 6 years ago now. So like and I didn't even agree. I was like, people wouldn't mind. But now that I'm seeing this, I'm like, oh, right, shit. Clearly, it's still such an
issue.
It's
actually weird to think that there's still so many people out there. It's not weird, but you kind of, I suppose, forget that there's still so many people out there that have those kind of traditional views still. It's crazy.
It scares me. Christian Ireland.
Yeah.
But no, definitely keep watching it. I feel like you're going to love it. I think there's going to be more complaints, to be honest, because I think the first few episodes were really tame.
There'll be more live line debates to come now, I tell you that.
Like, especially the Erasmus episodes, you get me, Kendra,
oh,
you know what I'm
God.
Saying?
Yeah.
They are controversial, to say the least. Before we go on to our last big story today, we wanted to mention the Jerry Ryan documentary. Did you watch it?
Loved it. It was really good.
So good.
Watched it with my whole fam. I remember, like, Jerry Ryan is, like, one of the... not one of the first, but, like, one of the main Irish celebrities that I remember dying and being like, whoa. Like,
shock.
Fuck.
Mm. Oh, it was such a shock at the time. Because, like, he wasn't ill. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't even, I know when you watch the documentary and when you hear reports, like, he was a big kind of partier and all that. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't have seen pictures of him falling out of Lily's or anything like that. So there was definitely no feeling that he was on his, you know, down a bad road. No one thought that.
Yeah, I just thought it was so good. Like, his voice, it's weird hearing his voice back again because it just reminds me so much of going to school. We were really like 2FM family. We always had 2FM on in the morning. Same. And it reminds me, you'd always hear his voice when you're on the way into school and you'd have that like nervous feeling in your tummy. And it's just like so nostalgic listening to his voice back again.
Such a calming voice as well.
Yeah.
And what I loved about the documentary was all the throwbacks, like the photos. Oh my God. He looks so gas. And also like the story of how he kind of came to fame. Like, I didn't know anything about that lamb controversy.
Oh,
that was
my
so
God.
Weird.
I had no clue about that. But my mom was like, oh my God, I remember that whole thing. And I was like, I've never heard of this. So weird.
But from the documentary, it seems like it was that controversy that got him the gig of a lifetime. Like, basically Orchie were like, let's take a chance on this guy because he's young and he's cool and he's hip and he's shocking, and let's put him on morning radio. And it was like such a risk take for them, but obviously it worked out. It was like the best risk they ever took. But it was sad to watch it, and you know, especially the part when he died and like how his family dealt with it. And I know his family didn't take part, but they do seem to be supportive of the documentary, and they were happy that, you know, so much imagery and sound files and all that kind of stuff was used in the documentary. But I guess I didn't want to just speak about it, you know, from a personal perspective. But I thought it was good that his brother was in it because he gave a lot of insight.
Like his Lottie is probably one of the most famous ones out of all of his children. She's the oldest and she's on 2FM at the moment, and she won Dancing with the Stars earlier this year. But she kind of opened up about his death, like really for the first time properly, on Brian Dowling's podcast. It was released earlier this week. And I just thought it was so good. I properly listened back to it, and it was so interesting to hear from her perspective what it was like dealing with his death in front of everyone. Because he was so famous in Ireland.
So famous. One of the most famous people at the time, definitely, when he died. I must listen back to that podcast. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah,
she is
good.
Very, very private. And she never wants to talk about her dad.
She discusses that in the podcast, how she was so guarded for so many years and never wanted to talk about it. And like being angry and stuff like that. And it makes you kind of really understand. I just thought it was really good and really honest.
Wow.
But
yeah, it's
crazy.
Mad the effect he's had on people's lives. Because even, you know, I was watching kind of Twitter that night, the night of the documentary, and even the next couple of days, because kind of, you know, everyone has been celebrating his 10th anniversaries and they've all been like sharing tributes and stuff like that. And it's just every day, and it's in really important people as well as just everyday listeners who like just miss him so much still. And anytime we put an article up about it, you know, there's always comments underneath people saying they miss his voice. So it's crazy how 10 years later there still has never really been a replacement for Jerry Ryan.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you know, it's so weird. Did I say to you before the amount of people that think Jerry Ryan is my dad?
Yeah, you said that to me before. It's so mad.
And other people have messaged me being like, I've just had a conversation again having to tell someone that you're not related to Jerry Ryan. And someone said it to me about 2 weeks ago as well. I was like, oh my God, how do people still think this? But I looked up myself on Google the other day, which is always really funny. And you know, when you look yourself up or look up any name, the top three common questions show up. It like tells you what the most searched questions are.
Yeah.
And one of them is, who are Ali Ryan's parents? Like, they're not famous and they're not broadcasters, okay? Just if anyone is Googling, isn't that really strange? That's what comes
so
up.
Random.
Everyone trying to suss it out. But yeah, no, I thought that was amazing. And then obviously 2FM announced that they're renaming one of the studios, the Jerry Ryan studio.
Yeah, I love that idea. I actually saw someone that works in RTÉ had put up on Twitter that they've actually kind of called it that for years, but it's never been like official. So it's really nice.
I wonder what studio that is. Did they
say
which
one
it was?
They said it's a 2FM studio, but they just didn't say which one.
Because, you know, the one that I've been in the most would be the studio that Nikki and Jenny Green used to use. And Dave Fanning uses that studio too. I've been in it for that, and Colm Hayes used it. It's like the main 2FM studio. It has to be
I'd
that
studio.
I'd
say it's that one, yeah. The That's one that crazy. Has all the lights in it and everything.
Yeah,
I'd say it's that one.
That's the one Deer and Owen would be in as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the last topic today, the Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler divorce. I just can't cope with the continuous drama. Have you ever watched Just Cavallari?
No, but or like, So Cavallari. I've seen clips. I've seen clips from it and like, you know, news articles written about stuff that happens in the show.
Yeah.
And it seems like their relationship is really weird, or has been really weird.
So weird. I watched like the first two episodes of the show last night because I just wanted to kind of get a sense of what it was like. And even from episode one, like, it's odd. Like, in the second episode, he tries to buy a house behind her back and not tell her about it. And it's just, yeah, I know. It's really weird. He seems kind of resentful of her business and he's not working, but he kind of wants her to be all about him. It is a bit weird.
Oh, yeah, because he's retired, is he? He's a retired NFL player,
NFL player, yeah. So the weird thing is, though, I remember when they first broke up years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but this is like, I don't know, God, must have been 8 years ago or something when they broke up, nine years ago. And I remember there was loads of reports at the time that he was like controlling and that it was just a really not good relationship. And then when they got back together, I was very surprised. But then I'm pretty sure they got engaged immediately again and they had a baby. It was like really, really fast.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time thinking this relationship isn't right. There's something, I just always had this feeling there was something not right about it. But the really weird part of all this, right, is when lockdown began in America, they were on holidays in the Bahamas, the whole family. So her, the three kids, and Jay, and her personal hairdresser, don't know why he was there, but anyway, they were all there together.
I think they're just really good friends or something, I don't know.
So random. Well, now I'm wondering, was he working as a bit of a mediator between them all? Because people are saying now that they were broken up then, that they were going to break up properly. But the weird thing is, though, like, they got loads of backlash for being in Barbados together because they were just like casually posting photos, like people were dying literally around the world, and they were like beach day. So then they came back, and then I just think it's such a weird time for Kristen to file divorce papers. They're still living in the same house together, and the details are getting worse and worse of the actual filing.
Yeah, so in the latest filing, she actually said that they were going to divorce late last year, and like they had started talking about it, but then, and like she was considering moving out and stuff, but then they kind of like patched things up again, and then obviously was it March or April, they kind of decided that it wasn't going to work. But in the latest filing, she says that he's like blocking her from buying a new house so that she can move out with their kids. It's very bizarre.
It sounds really controlling, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like she accused him of marital misconduct, which I don't know exactly what that could be.
Yeah, because in the original filing, it said marital misconduct, and basically that jeopardizes your safety in a marriage. Like, I was like, what
really
does that
weird
mean? Really strange. Now obviously they also faced massive affair rumors, cheating rumors at the start of this year with Kristen's former best friend Cal Kelly, and they're no longer friends now.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yes. So my sister watches So Cavallari, so she filled me in.
Oh my gosh.
Kelly Stapleton is her name, and she's in all the episodes. Like, she's in the first two episodes I saw, and she's always around her and Jay. Like, there's photos of her and Jay together. Like, they're all best friends kind of thing.
Oh my god, I'm shook. I need to watch this back.
Yeah, at the start of the new season, Kristen in her confessional was basically like, so me and Kelly aren't really speaking anymore. There was rumors that her and Jay were having an affair. Like, I never believed them, but I'm not happy about how she handled it. Because apparently at the time, Kelly didn't really talk to Kristen about it, but she started tweeting about it and stuff and mentioning Jay on her social media. So Kristen felt she was kind of using the scandal to kind of, you know, up her social following and stuff like that. So she said she never believed it. But now that I'm seeing marital misconduct
and she's requesting full custody of the kids, like, if that's not saying something, that I don't know what would.
But like, she mustn't be in any danger, because there's no way she'd file these papers while she's in isolation living with him. Do you know what I mean? It must just be there's something really wrong with their relationship. Mm. But she's obviously made the choice to make this happen during isolation. She would have known all of this would have been leaked. She would have known it would have been everywhere. Like, I find it such a strange time
And it is sad because they do have, like, you know, young kids. Like, I think their kids are all, like, under the age of 10.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so they're really, just, they're really
they have three kids, don't they?
Three kids,
God,
yeah.
I can't believe they have three kids.
And they're not on the show. Yeah, and they're not on the show at all. She's really like, I don't want them to have to be in the limelight. But I kind of got the feeling that was Jay's decision, not hers. Mm-hmm. I just get this vibe off him that he's a bit controlling. He's really weird.
I've always kind of gotten a weird vibe off him. I don't know.
Yeah, I never thought they were going to last anyway, to be honest. I thought it was weird. But then when they launched the show together, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they are good. Because why would you invite cameras into a bad situation?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, maybe things were good. But then when you look back at Chloe and Lamar's show, the stuff that was going on during that.
We had no idea at all.
No idea. But
he was
literally
doing crack, like, in the other
crack
room.
With prostitutes, like, that Chloe was knocking down doors. So intense. But I think with the Kristen and Jay stuff, I do think more is going to come out, even though they're all in isolation and on lockdown. I just think there's more to the story. It's not just that, you know, they've consciously uncoupled as Gwyneth and Chris did. I feel like something dramatic is going on. I just could not be living in the same gaff with someone and then TMZ's reporting your latest filing. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, their lawyers probably haven't even got the filing yet and TMZ has them. And they're like, oh, Christ. Like, I think it's a very dramatic way to do it. If I was her, I would have waited for the lockdown to be over. Do you know what I mean? And but maybe she really wants to get the new house and making it public that he's forcing her not to. Maybe she thought this was the only way.
Yeah, I'd say she just wants to, like, get out, I suppose. Because she, so in that latest filing, she's basically requested. So, like, obviously when you're in these really rich marriages and you both have loads of money, you have a financial advisor. And
one could dream,
what she's basically saying is that Jay told the financial advisor to not release any funds for her to buy a new house. But she's now requesting that the judge tells the financial advisor to release funds that belong to her, like it's her money, so that she can buy a house for her and the kids to live in. So,
so is it actually
see.
Her money, but it's in like a joint account or something,
basically.
So they both need to sign off on it?
Yeah.
Never get a joint account, folks. That's the number one lesson from today.
Yeah,
because I was going to say, she definitely has her own money. I don't think would need Jay's to buy a house. Like, she has that fashion brand, Uncommon James, and she's a cookbook. She's apparently, like, a bestseller on the bestsellers list in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if she's staying in Nashville or not. Like, maybe she's looking to move back to LA, and that could be his issue.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, she's been doing a lot of stuff for E! As well. Like, I don't know if you'd seen, she did, like, all the Oscars coverage this year from the Roosevelt Hotel. They did, like, a thing on the rooftop before the countdown. I don't know if that was aired in the UK, E!, but over in America, like, she does loads of slots with them over there for entertainment and stuff. So I think she's trying to build up more of a TV personality career and not just be about her show, but, like...
Yeah, because she did kind of fall off the radar for, like, a few years. Like, I wouldn't say she's the most famous celebrity out there, you know?
She was getting big in the last 12 months, though, definitely because of the series and because she's been doing all these, like, public appearances and stuff like that. But it's really telling, even that the show is called So Cavallari. Like, she doesn't even need to change it now because Jay's name
it's just her.
Isn't even in it. It's just her. I actually hated her in Laguna Beach and The Hills.
Oh, my God, me too. She was a weapon.
Absolute bitch. Like, and I loved LC and she didn't love LC, so that meant I didn't love her. Actually, is Laguna Beach on Hey You?
Oh my God, I don't know, but I'd love to watch it back.
I would love to rewatch it. I'd love to rewatch it somewhere. But look, she is absolutely a babe. Like, she's definitely gonna land someone else when
she's back
in civilization.
I always thought she could do better than him, to be honest, anyway. Controversial.
You know, in America, like, those football players are like,
it's like
getting with the main jock in high school. It's like the ultimate thing. But no, I know what you're saying. Yeah. And it'd be interesting to see who, imagine she got back with your man from Laguna Beach. What was his name?
Oh my God. Oh my God. What was his name? Stephen.
Stephen. Yeah.
Stephen. Oh my God. What was his last name though? Because it was so iconic.
Okay. A second. Let me Google it.
Was it Stephen Coletti? If that's actually his name, is it Coletti?
Okay, I'm looking it up here. Stephen Laguna Beach.
Oh my God, it is Coletti.
Oh my God, how did you?
How did I remember that?
Parents Bruce and Laura Lee Coletti.
Oh my God, where is he now? I'd love to know.
Oh my God, there's actually an article on Refinery29 called "Where is Stephen Coletti Now?"
So oh my God, this is the content I need.
God, 2004, Kendra, is when Laguna Beach was big. Oh, sorry. There's actually a quote in this article from Kristen, because she wrote a book called Balancing in Heels. This was the book that got her like on the bestsellers list. And she said, one of the most hurtful things that the producers did in Laguna Beach was pressure Stephen to spend more time with another girl from the show, Lauren, even though him and I were dating. It started serious conflicts that ended up being juicy, but it also affected me so deeply. I felt so threatened.
Oh my God.
They basically broke her up. So let me just see. In 2007, okay, so he's an actor now. In 2007, Coletti starred in Normal Adolescent Behavior. That sounds like a weird version of Normal People.
Yeah.
A teen comedy about a group of high school friends who were in a six-person polyamorous relationship.
Let's give it a little watch. Wow. Oh yeah, and he was on One Tree Hill.
And he was on a show called Clean Teen. All these shows sound
so funny. Oh my God, and he was Taylor Swift's love interest in
White Horse.
That is so funny, I forgot that.
Let me just see what the latest thing. Okay, in 2018, he starred in the wedding do-over, Did I Kill My Mother, which was a Christmas special.
Oh my God.
Wow. So anyway, he's still around. He's acting. I used to always think that like so many people in the Hills were actors and wannabe actors, because I remember also as well, Made in Chelsea, when Lucy Watson joined, she was like one of the first new cast members. I remember following her on Twitter and her bio said actress, and then when it started she took it off her bio. I was like, oh wow. Obviously just being paid to be on it. But yeah, Stephen Coletti, imagine they got back together.
Oh my God, I'd live for that now, to be honest.
Because the other way, Kristen like refused to be on the reboot of The Hills.
Yeah, until the end.
Yeah, because
oh, actually no, the reboot. Sorry, I thought you meant actual Hills.
No, and the reboot.
That reboot seemed like it absolutely failed, didn't it?
I don't know. I mean, apparently it's happening again.
Oh, okay.
There is going to be a second series, but I don't know. That might now have stopped because of the coronavirus.
Yeah,
outbreak.
Like everything.
Yeah,
else.
It definitely wasn't as big as it was before. And like Misha Barton had already confirmed she wasn't going to be in it.
Mm.
But yeah.
God, we covered so much in this episode.
I know. So
love
this is what
that
I mean.
For
I
us.
Feel like this week has been one of the busiest weeks of news. There's just so much going on, which is strange because given when this all started, we were like, "Is there going to be stuff to cover?" But like,
oh my God,
honestly,
there's so much. Yeah.
Yeah, there actually is. But look, yeah, we shall leave it there. Main takeaways is definitely watch Normal People.
Yeah.
Have a separate bank account from your husband.
So yeah, you that's own, very important.
And definitely, I hope you guys take part in the Goss Gives Back campaign. Like I said in the last podcast, we've loads of stuff coming up.
Yeah, but really fun things as well.
Yeah. But the first tanning challenge, that's kicked off this weekend. So definitely take part. Show us your best before and afters. And we'll chat to you next week.
Bye.